Okay, thank you, Father. Is everybody okay? How are you guys finding this? I often say to my wife, I wonder what it's like to come to a meeting where I'm talking. I don't really know if it's any good or not. Yeah. You know, I've said it before, but you're all powerful to disagree with me because, you know, we all know in part. And actually, all I'm doing is trying to administrate what I know today. But like I always teach, is that to be Hebraic is that we're on a circle, a spiral of ever-expanding knowledge, which means we're all repenting continually. Because repentance means go to a higher place of seeing. So the spiral means you're in continual repentance. So I'm presenting it as how I know it today, but you know, you may have nuggets that I don't have, and you may be able to correct me on things that I teach. But we're in a cultural change as well as a supernatural change to the culture of honor. And I believe the culture of honor that Bethel are teaching is as easily as valid and as supernatural as anything I've said today. I mean, for me, it's been like gold dust since we discovered the culture of honor. It works. We've used it with our children. We've used it with our team. We've used it with people we're along with. And it's the basic idea that we're all powerful. I'm not more powerful than you. You are powerful to think. You are powerful to lead. You are powerful to think differently. And you are valid. And you have a right to be different. And we're not a generation that's going to be a conformity club. Anyway, so I just want to say you're powerful to think differently. And also, but bear this in mind, please, is that don't be too hard-lined on stuff. Because if you're hard-lined, you'll find Jesus is over the other side of the fence waving at you. So as you go in the spirit, God will challenge you because you'll come into the disturbance of the hay where you will have to realize that what you thought was wrong and that now you've seen differently. Like Paul, when he got disturbed by the Lord, he saw him on the road to Damascus. He said, "Who are you, Lord?" He said, "I'm Jesus." Paul writes this, "I once thought of him as a mere human being, but not so anymore." So he was disturbed and had to recalibrate his perception of Jesus. We really need to do that for one another. Because if you think there's a mere human being sitting next to you, then you have not seen it. You have not seen the gospel. You have not seen the unlimited nature. The furthest I've seen in the future, I don't even know how many years in the future it is because it was so far in the future. But I actually saw us beyond where it says in John, but now we are sons of God. But what we will be, we don't know. The Lord himself showed me some of what we're going to become. And it was one of the most intense raptures I've ever had. And when I had this rapture, and he showed me this energetic being in the creation, in the cosmos, in the stars, like living ballad, like a living symphony, like a living dance of energy and colors and fire in the stars with such awe. I didn't even know what I was seeing. And the Lord spoke to me and said, "Do you know what this is?" And I said, "No." And he said, "This is the beauty of the human spirit." And then he said this incredible line. He said, "The human spirit has a limitless capacity to grow." And I saw that we are going to become so glorious. And let's just pull on it that now, because I tell you what, Enoch has pulled on that. You know, when I meet Enoch and other people like Enoch and, you know, Elijah and the ever-living ones and these other people, people often say to me, "What do the saints look like?" And, you know, I hadn't heard anyone teach on this, but this is my perception of it. And I've actually learned that it is the truth. Is this, that when they appear in the form of a human being, they are lowering themselves to the lowest level of humility to interface with you because you can't handle them. You can't actually handle... If you saw Enoch right now in his fully revealed state, we'd probably all actually die. I've got to be honest with you. We would not be able to deal with it. But that is what we're becoming. We're becoming the Enoch company. We're becoming transfigured. See, there had to be a point, like Bill Johnson says, where the fully renewed mind, he said, is transfiguration. We knew this, that at some point, it doesn't make sense, aging. It doesn't make sense, sickness. That there's got to be a point, like Bill Johnson said, where it says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's literally the same word as used for the transfiguration. Be transfigured by the renewing of your mind. For you are children of light in a kingdom of light, and you've been called to arise and shine, for your light has come. In this session, I want to talk about Kainos community. And I talk about this in the book, is that if any man be in Christ, Kainos, we now have a new community. And it's time for you, and I'm really excited about this, it's time for you to get to know your angels. Because they are an essential part of what you are meant to do. They are an essential part of your scroll. They're an essential part of your destiny. That he's given charge over them in all your ways. All your ways are connected to the angelic. Because all of Jesus' ways are connected to the angelic. When Jesus appeared, he said, I am Jacob's ladder. And he said to Nathaniel, oh, wow. Yes, Lord, I want to talk to Nathaniel. Because I want to say, Nathaniel, tell me the Gospels according to you. Because Jesus said, from now on, you'll see angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man. You imagine what his life was. It's no wonder we don't hear from him again. He's the one that they're dragging around going like. As angels are shooting out of this being, this adore. And as he is, so are you. You know, angels do not have the same level of access that you have. They can be blocked, it says in Scripture. The king of Persia blocked Michael and Gabriel. You have got access to everything because he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Angels are not one spirit with him. You've been encompassed into all of the cosmos. Your ladder is open into every dimension that exists because it's actually inside you. It's not inside angels. He doesn't teach all of heaven's inside you, Gabriel. But he does teach it to you. That's why angels long to look at us, because we are actually going to evolve. Not that we'd see it as evolve, because the Lord loves angels, and you'll never see them as less than, but you will go beyond their comprehension. And you're supposed to go beyond the comprehension, because you are supposed to be raised to the fullness of the stature of Christ. That's why you'll judge angels, because your comprehension will be greater than theirs, and you'll align their scroll. Okay, right, I thought that was amazing. Tumbleweed just went through the room. So we began to honor the angelic realm, and this is a photo of Gary Oates in Toronto. And as I started to pray and pursue the Lord, like I told you, we started to read about angels and thought, I want angels. And I read Gary Oates, you know, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. He's a regular pastor, older guy, on mission trips. But he's crying out because his church, he's built it for years, and then five families or something all leave. It's like, what am I doing? I want to see. He was saying, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. And he literally was bowing down in the presence in this Randy Clark crusade. And he opened his eyes. And he began to go up out of his body and could see the angels. And he went up through the roof of the tent and saw Jesus above the tent and then panicked, came back into his body and flew on the floor. Scattered the chairs, and his wife and everything had never seen him do it before and was like, what should we do? Should we call an ambulance? But what God did was God jolted him through into reality, into desire. Now, what I've learned with this, the rules of the spirit, is there are laws of governance. And one of them is the law of desire and honor. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. If you want to see and walk with angels, this realm is accessible and it's open for you, and it will happen for you. And I'm going to pray it does happen for you, because the way it started for us was seeing flashes of light. And, you know, they would come in the room, and I remember the first time I had a major angelic visitation, I was praying with a friend, and suddenly the room was full of people. It was a room we prayed in all the time, so you know what it feels like. It was crowded with like, and we grabbed each other. I want to see this on replay. I want to go down the timeline, because we're two big guys. This guy was even bigger than me. He's a very masculine guy with tattoos. We literally grabbed each other and stood in the corner of the room. Go, what do we do, man? I don't know. They're here. I know. And the floor, this guy in his living room had a wood block floor. It was literally going, creak, creak, creak. Is it all? They must have just been doing this. Going, well, let's freak those guys out. Look at them in the corner. It's like, what does the Father think? You know, he sends his angels. We've been praying for them to come. We've been honoring the CD. They arrive, and we're in the corner hanging on to each other like two babies. I reckon the sound of the floor was just them laughing, because I think they were just rolling around like, check these guys out. Whoa. So they began to come, and we began to see orbs of light and color. And I've seen many of them. I've seen them like literally hit objects. One of the first orbs I saw hit the lamp in the middle of the room. It flew from behind me, hit the lamp. And for 2 hours, I watched little orbs and big orbs appear over a period of 2 hours in this rich presence of God. Now, I didn't know this was okay at the time, but thank God for John Paul Jackson, because John Paul Jackson had a teaching on heavenly lights where he said in Paul, in Acts, it says there were many lights in the room. Why say there are many lights in the room? And there was such a realm in that room that Paul taught all night, so he was beyond sleep, and he raised the dead and carried on talking. So there seems to be something about lights and resurrection and energy and life. And Jesus, he was continually ministered by angels. And we were told, you know, you can't see angels. You can't talk to angels. But yet we speak to devils. So we speak to animals. So we've actually said that angels are less than them. That we have more dignity for the house dog and cat than we do for the fact, get this. Get this. He has commanded his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. Jesus said that their angels, children's angels, their angels, angels that belong to them, more than one, always see the face of the Father. So every child has a group of angels associated with them, and you have angels to guard you in all your ways. So every sphere of your life, there are energetic beings from a higher dimension, what we call angels, that are associated with you. Then there are angels of churches, to the angels of the church of Ephesus, to the angel here. Then there's angels over nations, and there's angels over the earth, and there's angels over worship. And we have said that we will not interact with them until we die. And yet, what we're actually teaching in charismatic churches totally contradicts church history and the lives of the saints. There would not even be a United Kingdom today if Columba didn't have angelic councils on the island of Iona, where the angels would appear to him and tell him who to commission as the kings of Ireland. Do you know the King of Britain became a Christian because of this? And that was the turn of the tide. Do you know the Angles, the Saxons, the Scots, the Picts, and the Welsh, and the Cornish were all fighting until Christianity started coming to every herb? And do you know how Christianity came? Because of ecclesia communities that would ascend into the heavenly realms and walk with angels and perform wonders in creation over nature, have expanded knowledge, be able to teach language, play music, create houses of prayer. And for them, the angelic was essential. It wasn't optional. I mean, the angels would literally walk with them. And then you look at the Franciscans, and they would appear to the Franciscans every time someone died or every time they're on a long journey. And yet we've said angels aren't important. And you look at Teresa of Avila, they would take her in ecstasies. And you look at all of these other people, and it's like, well, who has blinded us? Who bewitched us? Who came along? Who had such authority to contradict scripture? When there are over 300 scriptures or more, there's like 178 or whatever in the old, where they're called It's like the word for king. It's like Zadok, Melech, Malak. Got it. In the Old Testament, angels are called Malak, which is similar to the word king. So they're beings that come from the realm of the spirit, the Melech. In the New Covenant, they're called Angelos, which is the Greek word. But you take those aside, and you've got all these references, nearly 300 there alone. But then you've got, like, I think 71 references to another group of angels called cherubim. So scripture, and it says that in the Old Covenant, it says that Moses was given the Old Covenant by angels. You look at the New Covenant, Paul says these things in his letters. He says, I'm writing this in the presence of Jesus and the angels. You've got angels coming on the day of Pentecost. Because what we didn't understand was Pentecost wasn't just a marriage into the Holy Spirit. It was also a marriage and a restoration of our right relationship with angels. How do we know that? Because of fire and wind. Fire and wind is Bible code for angels. He makes his messengers winds and flames of fire. And you've got the testimony of three witnesses. So and what you see in Acts then is this dynamic relationship, even in the life of Jesus. Have you noticed that the angelic just goes through the roof from the moment Mary has a visitation and John's dad and mum, that the visitation realm just pops. You've got angels appearing saying, go to Egypt, come back from Egypt. You've got this happening, that happening. You go into Acts and the angelic has become so profound we all know this story now because we're honoring this, is that when Peter came out of prison, they said, oh, it's just his angel. And they didn't all rush to the door. You know, that makes me think that they were walking with angels far more than we've ever imagined. And you see angels appearing to Paul. You see angels on the boat with him. You see angels directing his steps. And then you see John going into an angelic, crazy cloud of witnesses. And don't you realize that how a story ends is how you're supposed to live from that time? The story ends with someone walking like Enoch, going transdimensional through time and space, seeing angels and talking to saints. So I love angels and I'm so excited. I've got two that work with me closely, but I've got more than that. And I've met angels, I've seen angels, I've been woken by angels, I've been touched by angels. I've got one that works with me called Imriel. Now, Imriel means the eloquence of God. When I engage this angel, it helps me weave words with creative potential. And sometimes I'm in a conference, and I'm speaking in another quality. It's when I've really interfaced with what that angel carries. I have another angel called Abital. Now, Abital's been with me for much longer than Imriel. Abital means the dew of the Father. And she's like a shimmering energy being that overshadows me and makes me drunk. She's actually a manifestation of the Spirit of glory. God has got these and many more assigned to you. These are just some of the angels that they're assigned to you, and more can be assigned to you, because those who are faithful with little are given much. What do I mean by that? Is if you change the gravity around your life and your home to be an angel, pro-angel, angels welcome here, then you will become a gravimetric force for them to come into creation. And actually, they will even visit you when they're in the nation. And you'll start to go, this will start to happen to you. You will go to a friend's house and you'll be having a cup of tea, and then the angel will come up to you and go, hi. But the way it goes hi is it goes, and you won't see anything, but you'll go, whoa. And one thing I've noticed with angels, they don't jump on you when you go into a house, usually. They will wait till you've been there a little bit of time, maybe 10 minutes, and then they will come and greet you because you are welcome in their house. Then you'll start to see angels of churches, and you'll know that the angel of the church and the pastor or the leader ministry have got an interwoven, interconnected life. So when it says to the angels of the churches, say this, it's saying to the chief, the leader, the one who carries the scroll, and the angel who are interwoven to carry the blueprint into creation. And what I found happened is I started to have a posture of honor towards angels. I would sense angels in churches. So one of my most powerful experiences was a recent one within Seattle. I went in the auditorium, it's like a 1,000-seater, and there on the stage, I could feel the angel. The way that you engage angels is often by feeling. Feeling is seeing, okay? In the spirit, feeling is seeing. In feeling, cardiognosis, you'll know. So don't look with the wrong organ. Look with the eyes of your heart. The eyes of your heart are sensory, telepathic eyes on a multi-dimensional level. So I went up to the stage and just engaged that, and then I got revelations, and I saw waves and breakers, and I saw its face up in the heavens, and it began to engage me in the earth, and it told me the destiny scroll for the Seattle church. They've just had a massive outpouring that lasted for 18 months called the Apple Wine Outpouring. He said, I am really happy about what is about to happen in this church. This is going to really expand. And I saw healing angels. They've had profound miracles. I saw all these white orbs around the room, healing angels. I went to the pastors and said, come and meet the angels. They said, that's amazing. We got a prophetic word this week that we were about to meet the angel of the church. I took them into the auditorium. We all stood under an engaged breaker, and the presence was profound. It was wonderful. But when they went, I went back to talk to Breaker, and Breaker said that he came from the laughter of the courtroom, and he said that the laughter of God creates the court systems in creation. And he said the Lord sits in heaven and laughs and judges the enemy, and that there's a perpetual laughter that comes from heaven. When you turn into it, it becomes the courtroom and manifests righteousness and justice into creation. So here I am being taught by an angel about the court system, how it's a wave pattern of joy. And when you turn into it, it becomes what you need to administer his laughter to destroy the enemy. And an angel's teaching me this. And his face was so full of joy. And the amazing thing was, I just went back to Seattle and I was doubting, should I ever go back? As I left the room, as I walked out, I looked back onto the stage and he said, I'll see you again. Do you know that whole trip I knew I was meant to be in Seattle because he told me, I'll see you again. Whoa. So we began to engage with angels and they started to come into our meetings. I love this picture of one of our meetings. There's no explanation for this light. I've looked at it over and over again. There's no light source there. There's nothing that can explain it. And look at the ecstasy that the woman's in. And then this is Rachie. See, because when I first started getting whacked, Rachie was like wondering what was happening. She knew it was God. But I prayed, didn't I, honey, that angels would start to come. Do you want to just come and say hello to Rachie?
Hey, everybody. I love this story and I love this picture. So it's a real treat for me to see it up there again. As you can see, well, Justin has gone through a period of time of being extremely drunk, extremely whacked, which has had an impact on family life. And I didn't know how to handle it at first. It was like we had three very young children, five and under, and he kept getting drunk and whacked at the table. Really, like, he didn't carry cash with him for, like, 3-4 years because he couldn't handle the mental thing of engaging money. Notes. It was notes. So he'd be at the table and he would be like gone at mealtime.
I was once in a bookstore and I was so out of it. I couldn't work out the price of this pile of books. So they gave the books to me. It's amazing how intoxicated it was. But I had such a heart for Rach, and I prayed, Lord, would you visit Rach? And then it started in the kitchen, didn't it? There was one night where a pillar of fire came on you in the kitchen.
A pillar of fire came on me, and it was burning from the top of my head to the tips of my toe, and Justin could actually put his hand into...
It was a physical heat. My first thoughts were that she had got so whacked she'd hit the buttons on the oven. So I was looking at the oven because there was waves of actual physical heat. And then as I reached towards her, there was like a membrane around her that I could put my hand in. So I was just going like, wow, wow. And she's going like,
I shook a lot.
The iron was there and everything. And she's just going. And it went on for like 2 hours,
yeah,
if I remember.
Yeah, it was quite a long time, wasn't it? But this was the first conference we ever put on called closer to the flame. And as you can see, the red orbs are actually moving. And I had the three kids at the back of the church, and I had major issues with fear of man. Man, I was not going out front. Like, no way. Like, you know, so I was at the back. That's my mum there, kind of like, because I'd manifest. I'd been to Toronto. I'd been impacted by Holy Spirit. But when these angels interacted with me, they pulled and played with me, and it was like something I'd never experienced before. And as you can see, they're moving. And our friend, this is probably about 8 years ago, our friend who we would call the seer back then, you know, now is totally different. We all know that we can all see and interact, you know. I said, What are you seeing? And she's like, duck! I didn't. And she saw like these lightnings come down and just hit me like this, and that's what she saw was the angelic that actually hit me. And yeah, they continued to interact with me over the next couple of years, and I could see Justin's hunger for so much more of God that I didn't know how I was gonna manage the family life with the impact that God was having on our life. And if these angels hadn't have interacted with me, it would be a totally different story now, you know. And I got to minister to people. The angels came and ministered to me then, like totally refreshed me.
We had an amazing thing. We were wanting to be used by God, and Rachel was at the mm-hmm. supermarket, and this woman literally cornered you with a trolley, and she had her children were being taken off her by the government, a poor, needy woman. She wanted a friend. She had no friends, no family. So Rachel went out with her on her birthday as her only friend and took her to the cinema. Now, I was in the living room praying, and I had lost track of time, but just before she walked in the door, with my physical eyes now, if you'd had a camera, you would have seen it, a sparkly figure appeared, shimmered. You couldn't see it. You just saw the full outline of a head, shoulders, arms, legs. Then this presence filled the living room, and I'm sitting there in the chair going like, wow. Wow, what's going on? And it's not moving, it's not interacting. Suddenly Rachel comes in the door and she's tired from the cinema,
really,
aren't
draining,
you?
Very draining. I just sat down on the settee, just talking to Justin, telling him what had happened, and suddenly this burning came on me again from the top of my head to the tips of my toe, like continually up and down, up and down. And probably for about 20 minutes, the angel came and ministered to me like that.
Rachel's face went red. I mean, what I saw
really,
in the spirit.
Really,
yeah, Rachel would literally sat down for 30 seconds and was overwhelmed. And what I saw was when she sat down, the angel turned and went like this. And like encompassed her. And I'm sitting there going like, wow. And she's like going, wow. And like this angel's literally a shimmering thing over Rachel's body, restoring her strength and her dignity and her courage.
Yeah, complete transformation. There was no tiredness. There was no mental, you know, strain or anything at all. You know, I was totally and utterly refreshed.
Yay! It's awesome, honey. Okay. Thanks, babes. So I believe one of the things the Lord's given me is that through a dream was that we're in the era of the mystic housewives. I had a dream which I called mystic housewives. And in this dream, it was a woman that was doing the chores in the house. And she was an Anglican woman. And she's doing the chores. And the Lord appears to her and said, I am going to begin to teach you the mystic secrets of God. And for several years, she's engaging with this in the house, being taught by the Lord. This is the era we're in, where your house is the epicenter of creation. Your home is where the heart is. Your home is where the doors are open. Your home is where Jacob's ladder. It is the open heaven. It is the thin place. You are that thin place. You don't have to go to a thin place. You are that thin place. You are an open door. You are a gateway. You are Jacob's ladder. And you don't have to go anywhere to pick up anyone's mantle. You've been given Jesus Christ. You've been given the fullness of all that he is. You've been given the yes and amen. I know this is contradicting the culture, but let me tell you now, running around trying to get other people's mantles and continually redig the old has not produced transformation on earth. What produces transformation on earth, according to the Celtic saints, is living from another world, living in the yes, living in the new creation now, that it's already come now, it's already here now. The new creation is now, salvation is now. Now is salvation. Now, wow. So I believe in mystic housewives, and you know, I'm a Mystic Housewife because I do. I wipe the floors and stuff. Rachel works some days, and I do. I clean and I mop and I say, Lord, I am a Mystic Housewife, just like that dream. I'm in that dream, and I'm saying, okay, I might be multitasking, but I'm engaged in heaven right now. I'm going to have an expanded heart as I'm mopping, as I'm clearing the amount of food in Sam's bed is unreal. You could feed half the planet. Ugh. How it gets in there, I don't know, but there's such glory on being Mystic Housewives. Rise up, oh Mystic Housewives, rise up. So my mum is one of these, and you know, my mum has just been transformed over the last few years. It's been amazing, but I've had a posture of honor back when no one was talking about it, because I'd seen it. I'd seen that there would be a new company upon the earth. It came through a dream, and in this dream, there was stadiums being filled, and the miracles were off the charts, but the people were saying, send us the ones that walk with angels. And I knew there was a company that would walk with angels, just like the saints of old, just like Enoch. So we're in the era of Mystic Housewives, and I got my mum. My mum had this awesome visitation. How many of you guys saw the Facebook video? I'm just going to show you. I put it together for you guys. Oh, yeah, Heavenly Lights. I just want to say, did you know they've appeared throughout history? This is an actual article from the South Wales Echo in the 1900s where reporters would go out and watch lights appearing over the village and going down people's chimneys and going into houses. In the Hebridean revival, they used to come over the tops of the fields and people would know it was time to go to church. Throughout history, there's been heavenly lights. We just don't honor what we already know. We say we want a Welsh revival. If we're asking for a Welsh revival, we're asking for mystic lights to come back. And they just became normal in our meetings. So here we go. Here's my mum.
You know, we were all blown away by this. So tell us what happened. It was the middle of the night.
Yes, it was the middle of the night. I just opened my eyes. I was in a lying position. And I just saw him. I saw this angel.
Right next to your bed?
Yes, right next to my bed. He was kneeling right next to me. So his face was not too far away from me at all.
In physical form, he was that close to you?
He was that close. And he had his arms folded like this. He had a white garment on, which had sleeves to the short sleeves. He had very blonde, curly hair and piercing blue eyes, beautiful. Mm. And I've referred to him afterwards as my beautiful angel. And then I sort of awoke myself a little bit more. And at that stage, I screamed, ah! And he vanished. Very, very stunningly beautiful. I can't.
You said he had wings. You saw the top of the wings.
Yes, I thought I saw the top of the wings. Just because he was in that position, mm-hmm. I felt as though I could see just here what I thought were wings.
Yeah. So how old did he look?
Oh, he would have been young, in his 20s.
In his 20s. And what kind of expression did he have?
Oh, a serene, beautiful expression. It was so serene that it completely... It was like peace. It was as if he oozed serenity and peace.
Wow. How do you feel about the fact that you've actually seen, in bodily form, an angel?
I felt extremely privileged. I've not seen him since. Yeah. But very, very recently, a couple of weeks ago, I invited him back again, but I haven't seen him in that same form. But I was in the same position again, and all I could sense was this glowing misty gold, and it was fleeting again, just say 5 seconds, but it was enough to make me say, well, good night, beautiful angel, and I fell straight asleep.
That's awesome.
Peaceful.
I put that video together for you guys because she couldn't be here. She's in Leeds this weekend. But you know, when she described the golden hair and the face, the presence, and he was literally leaning on her bed, face to face. And it was just after she'd moved house and felt really unsettled, living on her own in a new house. We are not alone. You are not alone. And I'm believing, actually, that every one of you is going to see angels. And I'm believing from today that that's open in your consciousness, in your mind. If you're not even walking in it, it's for you. You've been called to be a Mystic Housewife. I love the housewives. You know, God puts such honor on things that we don't. You know, most of his best men are women. And he chose Mary. And this is how much value the Lord puts on angels. That he gave Gabriel the greatest prophetic word that would ever be given. That you will be with child. And you will be overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. And God wants us to have this as becoming normal. And I just wanted to read this testimony from Cindy Jacobs. Because Cindy Jacobs was a mystic housewife. When she had toddlers, she'd put them to bed and she would just pray. And that's how her ministry started. But it was a catalyst for it was this. Are you ready? She walks into her living room. One night around 10:30 p.m., I was drying dishes. At that time, we lived in Weatherford, Texas. Our house was designed so that I could look from the kitchen through the dining room and into the living room. As I worked, it seemed to me that I could feel an unusual presence of God emanating from the living room. Whew! With a dish towel in my hand, I stood for a few moments in wonder. At last, I started walking towards the living room. When my feet touched the carpet of the room, in amazement, I gazed at a glorious angel. He was sitting in a tall, winged-back, blue velvet chair. He brought his chair with him. Fancy that. Fancy that. And he was in... Can you imagine this? There's another piece of furniture in your house. His shoulders went at least a foot or more over the top of this high back chair. I noticed that the angels in scripture were all dressed in white, but this angel wore a robe of color, a sash of gold, and sandals. The most unusual feature of his dress was a thin gold crown that went across his forehead. His hair was light brown, shoulder length, and parted in the middle. The most riveting thing about him were his eyes. What eyes? It's almost impossible to describe them. I can't even recall a specific color, for they pierced me to the bottom of my soul. As this angel gazed at me, as if he enveloped me, I was enveloped by liquid love, acceptance, peace and joy, and reverential fear all at once. At that moment, I knew why each angel noted in the Bible would say to those they visited, "Fear not." It was as if this angel in my living room knew all my failings, yet loved me without condemnation. I fell to my face on the floor, my dish towel still in hand. Out of my mouth came the words, "It is the Lord." He replied to me, "I am an angel of the Lord. Stand to your feet." Slowly I stood to listen to the message that he brought, which I cannot express with words. What the angel basically said was he was going to, and this is a prophetic word for someone here. He was going to take her from being a housewife and open up the nations. And she was invited to go to Argentina on an intercessory team. And this angel appeared to different pastors, telling them to go to the meeting. When she went to do this small intercessory teaching school, 1,000 people had shown up because the angel had prepared the way. God is wanting you to have the most exciting life imaginable. John 10:10. We cannot go back to this mindset that we have to self-punish ourselves into misery. Why can't you imagine a life where you see angels every day? Why can't you imagine a life where you encounter them every day? Why? Because he wants to give you an abundant life, a supernatural life, and they are so connected to us. They are so intrinsically linked to us. We need them for warfare. Do you know angels will not go into warfare unless you release them because you are God's generals? I want to show you a video from Sundar Silvaraj, and it's such a fun video. He's a mystic that I really love. He's a sadhu, so he wears the saffron robes. He's from the Hindu tradition, but he's born again. He's a prophet, and this is a wonderful story on warfare.
The Lord sent me, or 85, I think, to liberate a family from demon possession. The whole family was harassed by demons. I came to the house on a Saturday. So I was going to, and then after talking to the family, I went to my room and knelt down to pray. When I knelt down to pray, the Lord told me, "Tonight there's going to be a battle in the heavenlies. And the evil spirits are going to come to attack you. Now, this is what you need to do. Exactly at 12 midnight, kneel down, lift up your hands, and start worshiping God. So that was the assignment that was given to me. So at 11:55, I got up, prepared myself, and I knelt down, prepared my heart, and exactly at 12 midnight, I lifted up my hands, and I began to worship God. As soon as I did that, a mighty, powerful warrior angel suddenly appeared in my room. He was so huge and muscular, like how the Bible describes as the angel, very bronze-looking, and had the armor all over him, fierce, fiery eyes, and a long, drawn sword in his hand. And he said, "The battle is ready, sir." You know, this was 12 midnight. And I was all alone in this room. And here comes this huge angel. And very fiery, frightening looking one. And he shouts, "The battle is ready, sir." So, in all my petiteness, I was wondering, so if the battle is ready, why are you saying that to me? But I did not dare voice it out, you know? So I didn't know what to do. That was my first experience. So I prayed, "Holy Spirit, what should I do now? Is this really an angel or a devil in disguise?" Because I've never heard any angel come and say, "Sir," addressing me as sir, when he is the mighty angel. How can I be a sir, you know? I'm a weakling. So then the Holy Spirit told me, now, he is an angel, a warrior angel from Michael's order. So now you just tell him, "Okay, proceed." So I looked at him and said, "Okay, proceed." So, and he left. Suddenly he disappeared, and my spiritual eyes were open, and I saw in the mid heavens this angelic army. It was an army. And they were on chariots of fire and horses of fire, and they all had their drawn sword. And the angel who came to me was the captain of the angels. And on the other side were all these evil spirits. You know, they all gathered in one side, and these angels gathered on the other side. And this captain who departed from my presence, he had a shofar in his hand, and he blew the trumpet. When he blew the trumpet, the two forces clashed together, and they fought. I could hear with my ears, you know, the clashing of the swords. Clang, 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 you know, all those sounds. And all the while I was lifting up my hands and just praising God, worshiping God as I was told. And I saw this whole war for 1 earth hour. Exactly at 1 a.m., this captain drew his sword and cut the head of the captain of the evil force. And his head rolled down. Wait, wait, wait. The story hasn't ended yet. And his head rolled down on the floor. You know, once you take the king out, the war is over, right? So, that's what I thought. Then this angel came back to my room again. And he said, "The battle is over, sir." So I said, "What do I do now?" So I thought, since the battle is already over, why didn't you go back? So now I didn't know what to do next. So I prayed, "Holy Spirit, what should I do next?" "Just tell him, okay, proceed." So I looked at him and said, "Okay, proceed." And he disappeared. Now this was something very strange to me. Anyway, then the Holy Spirit told me what is going to be the aftermath of this war that took place in the heavenly. The witch doctor, the Hindu priest, who did all this witchcraft against this Christian family, the Lord told me the judgment of God will come upon him, where boils will appear on his legs from his waist downward, big, huge boils will come all over him as a witness to the whole village that he has been judged by the true living God. Wait. And the following day, I prayed a prayer of blessing for the family. They were all set free and they live happily ever after. 3 months later, the Hindu priest died of boils come all over his body. Now, after this event, I was very, very curious about the whole experience. So I wanted to know why these angels call me a sir. And why is it they should come and report to me before they could go for the war and before they left? So I took it up before the Lord in prayer. I fasted for several days asking the Lord for an answer. Then the Lord said, when a war takes place in the heavenlies concerning a situation that involves humans, the human agency is the general of the war, the general of the Lord's army.
Are you guys okay? It's heavy stuff, but the reality is you've got another ministry that you haven't been doing. A ministry that has to involve the unseen realm. You are a general and a king. We've just been priests worshipping, but we're kings, we're generals. And there are angels that are so linked to your life. Now, if you shift to a posture of honor today, you will begin to walk with them. You will, because the truth is, you do walk with them. But your consciousness has not caught up with reality. That if you slow down and sense, you will feel. And you will taste and see. And you will walk with angels like you've never believed. And they are friendly and gracious and kind. And they're also so much fun. I've got so many of my own stories, but I wanted to show another video. And it's of Joshua Mills.
One of my favorite testimonies to share about the angelic realm. I was ministering in Victoria, Canada, and I remember the one night after I was done ministering, I just felt like I was supposed to dismiss the ministry teams to go pray for everybody, and that I was supposed to go back to my the hotel and just spend some time with the Lord. And so I went back to the hotel, and when I got to the room, the hotel room, I put my key card in, opened up the door, and when I opened up the door, there was someone standing on the other side of the room. And I got frightened. I was actually terrified that there was somebody on the other side of the hotel room. But the next thing I know is this person that's over there reaches up, grabs a fireball right out of heaven, pulls down a fireball. Now I realize this isn't some kind of stranger, and says, catch. I'm still standing in the... This all happened very quickly.
No, this being was like a real person.
It looked just like a regular person.
It looked like a human being.
Like a regular
person. Like a real substance person.
Wasn't shining, wasn't glowing. Looked like a regular person.
Wow.
Until reached up and grabbed this fireball. Threw it at me, said catch. Threw it at me. And I caught it. I was still standing in the doorway. I caught it. And the next thing I know, there's gold. It exploded like gold all over the door frame, all over me, all over the hallway, all over the inside of the room. And this angel said, get ready to catch, more miracles are coming.
Wow.
Then gone, just disappeared. And so now I'm shaking, I'm terrified, I'm trying to figure out what God did, what this was all about. I went into my room, just shook for about 2-3 hours. And finally, I was able to call my wife and share the encounter that I just had.
He goes on and says that the next day when he does the meeting, they could all tell he'd had an encounter in the night. And when the evening meeting came, the man stood up at the back and said, catch. And he threw a ball over the other side. So Josh Mills is in the middle of preaching and he runs and jumps to catch it. And it splats gold dust all over there. And then he stands up again and goes, catch, and throws it over the... So Josh Mills is covered in gold and running over there, and they have this profound breakout of miracles, profound breakout of glory. See, I think we've got to have more fun. I think we've got to have more joy. And they are joyful. It says they're in joyful assembly. We can tell we haven't had many angels free because we haven't had a lot of joy. We haven't, because it says they come with joy. It says they rejoice and they sing and they dance. And I believe we've got to have them on the worship team. I believe we're in the era where they'll appear and play. Like, I'm going to frame this up for you guys now. Get ready. Sometimes there'll be a member on the band and you'll think, that's a cool drummer. Stuff's going to happen. We've released angels, house cleaning angels, house painting angels, fixing things. See, we've not thought like Kainos Creations. A friend of ours in Wales, Karen, she went through a season where she couldn't do the housework. She was so busy, so drained. So angels would come and do the housework once a week. Josh Mills once left his house with all the Christmas dinner out, everything, because he got the dates wrong for the flight. So they left because they had to go to Indonesia. When they came back, the whole house was cleaned and everything was packed in boxes, all the Christmas decorations. There was only one person that could have done it, his mum. He called and said, thanks for that. She was like, thanks for what? And then he realized that it had been packed exactly how Joshua packs them. And he realized that angels had come and packed his house. Angels had come. And listen, this is going to be normal. Is it fair? No, it's not fair, because it's glorious. It's John 10:10. We're not slaves. We're not slaves. We're not slaves. We're not slaves. And we've got a kingdom and a family. And it's time to act like it's our family. It's time for us to get off the shackles of religion and death and offense and wanting to be in control of everything. Why can't angels come and redecorate your house? Why can't angels come and clean your house? Why can't angels come in the car and travel with you? Why can't you have a traveling companion like Francis of Assisi, who's an angel? Why can't you sit on a bus and an angel talk to you for half an hour? Why can't you be a mystic housewife and go in your living room one day and Uriel or Zadkiel or Fenuel or Michael is in your living room and they commission you to a nation you've never been to before and they go ahead of you and get everybody there? And you go to do a little meeting and 1,000 pastors are there because the Lord himself is going to build the church. The Lord himself is going to build the church. And we've tried to do it in our own efforts and we failed. We failed. We failed to take Britain. Wake up. Wake up. Come on. We have to abandon the Titanic. The Titanic is going down and they kept the band singing while the structures are sinking. And we have to ascend into heaven and begin to be unapologetic. Listen, it's changing now. It's changing now. It's changing now. We can't be offended anymore. We can't be stumbling blocks anymore. We are an angelic hub. We are an angelic realm. We are connected to the cloud of witnesses. We are not human. We are not mere human beings. We are from another world. We are born from above. We are ancient and immortal and incorruptible. We are the sons of God. We are the sons of God. We are the sons of God. And he has put a hunger in us, like Bill Johnson says. It's been put in your DNA for the impossibilities to bow at the name of Jesus. And we will know we've repented when the impossible looks logical. For me, it's logical that angels come. For me, it's logical that I see Jesus. For me, it is logical that we move through time. We move through space. We understand the mysteries. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And to us, it's been given to know the mysteries of God. So, Father, we say today, we join with Cindy Jacobs and Joshua Mills in one new man. Lord, we join with my mum and everyone else, and we say, for us, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord, and we will be those that walk with angels. And I see the lightnings are coming. 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 And Lord, I want companionship with angels because you have companionship with angels. And I want to walk like Enoch. I want to walk with you arm in arm. I want to see Raphael. I want to see Fenuel. I want to see the Ophamin. I want to see the cherubim. I want to see the seraphim. Lord, and I'm saying death does not qualify me. You have qualified me. You have
qualified me. You have qualified us to have a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And I'm fed up of building things that can be shaken. I'm fed up of being part of a system that's under a world system. I want to be part of a kingdom that can never be shaken. To the increase of your government and peace, there will be no end. And we repent today for not taking our seat as generals. How many battles did angels wait for us to respond? How many nights should we have prayed? How many things should we have done? How many things have we missed? Lord, forgive us this day. But we say, no more, Lord. No more ignorance. No more apathy. No more slumbering. No more slumber. Houses of prayer, arise. Houses of prayer, hubs, mystic communities, arise. Centers of healing, centers of artwork, centers of innovation, arise, 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 arise. Europe stay without delay, Europe stay without delay. Now is the time, now is the time, now is the time, now is the time, now is the time. Arise and shine, 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 arise and shine. Lord, we pray today you would judge the fear of man, the fear of man, where we've said, what will our pastor think? Or the punisher that sits on our shoulder tries to punish us for being mystical. Lord, we ask you today to judge the structures of unbelief. Judge unbelief in us. Unbelief, unbelief, unbelief is being broken in England. Oh, rise up, O Wales of England. Rise up, England. Come on, Lord. Into another world. Into another world, into another world. You will see the angels. You will awaken with angels in your room. They will be over you in the night. Orbs will be seen in your lounge. You will have objects that come out of the spirit realm. You will see shimmering patterns. You will see colors and numbers, and you are now going to see a different world. You are going to see colors you have never seen. You are going to see things that you didn't even know were in the room. What even things are in the spirit that God has put in your house? And you are given permission to live in John 10:10, life and life and enjoy life in abundance. For he came to give us life. He came to give us life. He came to give us life. Life, 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 life. Guess who's coming to dinner? Guess who's coming to dinner? Knock, knock on the door, knock, knock on the door. Guess who's coming to dinner? Guess who's coming to dinner?